on one of the many trips I have made to Latin America in my life. One stands out, I guess. It was the one to Bolivia. And in Bolivia, the town where we were ministering was on the very far eastern side of the country of Bolivia. I mean, you could drive down the road and you'd be in Brazil, all right? There was one road leading away from west back to most of Bolivia, a large city out there about 300 miles called Santa Cruz, but there was this one road. And we weren't going to Santa Cruz, but we were going to a mission preaching opportunity out there in the jungle. And got in the guy's car, a little Volkswagen Rabbit, if you remember those. And so we're headed down this road. It's not a paved road. It's a dirt road, okay? But it's the main highway from Puerto Suarez to Santa Cruz. And we're driving about 10 miles an hour. And so I thought, you know, I don't know where we're going, but we're not going to get there at this speed. And so I just said to the guy that was with us who knew English, okay, why are we driving so slow? And he said, wait a minute and you'll see. And so we kept going, and then all of a sudden the road disappears and this crater opened up. I mean, we have chug holes around here in places, but this was a crater. And he said, that's why we don't drive fast. You'll hit the chug hole. Well, folks, all of that say, we're going to hit a chug hole this morning in 1 Peter. All right? And we're going to go slow, but we're going to hit a chug hole. And so you'll see the title of the sermon. Is that up there yet, Gabe? Put the title up there, brother. Yes, that's what the Word says. All right? So turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. I've got a feeling, Kelly, this is one of those times when the story's better than the... You know what I mean? All right. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 13. Peter says, be subject for the Lord's sake. Now, he's talking to the elect exiles, the people who are a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. That's who he's writing to. And he says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor, that'd be the Roman emperor in context, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. Nero would be that guy, that personality at this time. He's not somebody you want to invite over for Sunday lunch, Nero, okay? He's one wicked dude. And Peter is telling these folks, be subject to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors that are sent by him or as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now turn over to Romans 13. Some of you have been there before, haven't you? Two different writers. One inspiration by the Holy Spirit writing through two apostles, Paul in Romans, Peter in 1 Peter. This is what Paul has to say. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God or have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all that which is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, and respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Do you see the chug hole? If we are going to go through verse by verse through, yes. Oh, that wasn't a question. Okay. When the English teacher raised her hand, we go there, okay? All right. Just a little hallelujah, maybe. Was that okay? All right. Okay. All right. It gets worse. All right. When you go verse by verse through a book of the Bible, as we do, and we're in 1 Peter now, we're going verse by verse, you can't drive around the chug holes. And that's what we're doing this morning, is we are headed straight on to one of those chug holes, and therefore, the title, yes, that's what the Word says. And you read it with me. We're going to look at three things in the passage in 1 Peter. Romans is, we just read that to show you that the Word agrees with the Word, but you already knew that. The first thing we're going to look at this morning are reflexive responses. Secondly, we're going to look at ready reminders. And then next week, we'll finish the third point, redeeming responsibilities. Dwayne, that wasn't easy, okay? See that? Two R's, 3 points, that's pretty good. All right. When I read this passage in 1 Peter, and when I read the passage in Romans, no doubt, if you were paying attention, and you seem to be, there were some responses on your part. And most of those responses were reflexes. You know, when you go to the doctor for your checkup, and he says, here, set up on this table, and he takes that little instrument, whatever it's called, and he hits you right there, I think it's on the patellar tendon is where it is, and he hits it, and your leg flinches. That's a reflex, okay? If that doesn't do that, then there's some serious problems. You have some serious problems, and he'll probably ask for some more tests and da-da-da-da-da, okay? Well, you probably had some reflexes, responsive reflexes, when I was reading this. And I thought, you know, what would that sound like at Wellspring, all right? Ozarks, okay? Down here just north of Springfield, hills and hollers and what have you. Okay. What would that sound? I could imagine somebody in here said, hey, them be fighting words, Bubba. I can imagine that. I won't say who I thought of when I thought that, but we'll go on. Maybe another one would be, don't you know God is a Republican? And he hates Muslims? Surely God can't mean all human institutions, even when Democrats are in charge? These are some of the things that I thought of you folks, okay? And myself as well. What about all of those evil batteries before we begin today? Okay. Thanks, Gabe. You're the best, man. All right. He's got the button that shuts it all off anyway, so. All right. What about all the evil things that we would say evil governments have sponsored? And, you know, slavery, same-sex marriage, abortion, gambling, the list goes on and on. Government authorities said that's okay. All of those things that make us cringe. What about Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Obama and Trump and on and on and on we could go? Surely Peter and Paul are not talking about being subject to people like that. Why would God disagree with Himself by commanding that we obey wicked governments and authorities, which He just did in two different places in His Word? Well, I'm sure if you didn't have one of those responses, you had one probably similar to it. You know, it's one of those passages of Scripture, those two are, where we go, really? Are you sure that's what it says? Well, as we come to verse 13 in 1 Peter 2, we're going to see what this passage is saying. All right, those are the reflexive responses. Let me provide us now with some ready reminders, and this will be the weight of where we're going with this teaching this morning. First of all, a question as a reminder, and you need to answer this. Are you an American Christian or a Bible Christian? And some of you are wanting to say, well, it's the same thing. I don't think so. This aberration called American Christianity, though maybe starting well, has taken some bad turns along the way. And the American Christianity that we see in our land today sometimes gets a little bit cockeyed with biblical Christianity. First and foremost, are you a patriot or a pilgrim? Now, that would be a great compliment today. I've heard this, I don't know how many times on the news, they introduce so-and-so, and she is a real patriot. And I want to introduce to you Governor, he is a real patriot. And that's meant to be a compliment. And it kind of puts a person in a context. Oh, then this is a person that, yeah, he's a patriot. Well, question. First and foremost, are you a patriot or a pilgrim? And Peter has gone into great length and depth to tell us what a pilgrim is, a sojourner, a stranger in a foreign land, a person living where they're not a citizen. So are you a patriot or a pilgrim? Folks, we're never going to understand this passage or the one in Romans and several other passages similar to it. We're never going to understand this passage and God's command like this one until we fully understand who we are and we fully understand the sovereignty of God. If you cannot start with a good understanding of the sovereignty of God, this passage will never make sense to you, and you will probably cross it out like Thomas Jefferson did in his Bible. Or cut it out, he did. So what we're going to dive into this morning to remind us is who we are and coming to grips with the sovereignty of God. Let me give you some more reminders. God, Jehovah God, does what He does, not to win or get ahead or be successful or be right or to fit in or to be popular. That's not why God is doing what He has done and is doing. But in that thing that I call American Christianity a while ago, the understanding is if you are an American Christian, then the outcome is you're going to win, get ahead, be successful, be right, fit in, and all those kind of things. And some people preach some awfully good sermons about that. You want to be successful? Come to Jesus. That'll make you successful. Folks, that's not in the Bible. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, not be successful. Do you see where American Christianity and Bible Christianity collide now? One goes this way, the other goes this way. God does what He does. And this will help you in your lives individually. God does what He does because of who He is. He is responding from who He is, His character. And He is sovereign God of all He has created. That means He's in charge. Down to the very hairs of your head. He's in charge. He knows. And God didn't create all that is and said, you know, take care of things. I'll be back in a few thousand years. He doesn't slumber nor does He sleep, the Word tells us. He is always focused intricately on His creation, and He is calling the shots for everything that happens in His creation. Now that one's hard to get your mind around up front. God does what He does based on who He is. And who He is He is God over His creation and His kingdom. And His kingdom means it's not a geographic territory. His kingdom is that which He rules and reigns over. That's His kingdom. That would include the people. That would include everything that is of all that He created. And who He is and how He responds to His creation further then amplifies who He is. His characteristics are of His choosing. You see, we take on characteristics to get along. We take on characteristics so that we fit in. We do what we do mainly to, you know, win friends and influence people or whatever it is. God doesn't do that. God does what He does because of who He is. Period. Thus, what God says and does is not going to make sense to those whose priorities are to win and be successful and get ahead and be right and fit in and be popular. Back in the coaching days, before you would get fired for it, okay, we would pray, okay, before a game. And some of you other coaches may have done that as well, okay? And, you know, I'm sorry. Always pray to win. They're keeping score, right? And one guy one time, and I don't even remember who it was, but is one of those people that are just in your life, okay? And he had a question one night. He said, Coach, what if God wants them to win? Huh? No! I want to be successful. I want to win. But he had the question, didn't he? But there's even one beyond that. And you folks that are still coaching, you may need to borrow this one. Rob, back there, okay? God doesn't care who wins. God doesn't care who wins. He's concerned with the individual lives of those that are playing the game. That's His focus. But as long as we focus on winning, being successful, fitting in, we're going to miss God. Because He is in the ruling and reigning business over the lives of individual people. That's His focus. This passage and the others that we read there in Romans and others that would say basically the same thing, this passage and all those others are not about political convictions. They're not about political alignments. Did you notice in Peter when he said there are some phrases, for the Lord's sake. Did you see that? For the Lord's sake. He also said, doing good, living as servants of God. Those phrases are woven through this passage that we just read in 1 Peter. You see, the problem that we encounter, if we have a problem with this passage and those other passages, is that we revolt against what is being said here, and we ignore for the Lord's sake, and instead we insert for my sake. And if we make that mistake, we will never understand and practice this passage. We will continue to disagree and protest and revolt as long as we think of ourselves first, as long as we think about all of this is for our sake, these governments and all that. And as long as we convince ourselves that we're in charge, or we can bring about the action or activity that will make us in charge, as long as that's our motivation, as long as we are on the right side of whatever it is, we're going to miss God. God has everything planned out. Last week when we met here for worship, there's not a person in this room, myself included, of course, that knew later on that day a guy would break the windows out of a couple of suite there in Las Vegas, Nevada, 32nd floor, with 22,000 people gathered 300 feet below. And he would start shooting automatic and semi-automatic guns and kill 59 people and wound 500 and some. Did anybody know that ahead of time? I did not know that. Okay? And as I heard the news come in that evening, it was shocking. Was God shocked by that? Did he say, "Oh, what's going on in Sin City, man?" No. He knew it. In fact, and hang on to this, everything is planned out. And he will carry everything out according to his will. We don't understand how the pieces fit together. But that doesn't mean that they don't fit together. It just means that we don't understand. Was Adolf Hitler a mistake? An oops on God's calendar? Where'd that guy come from? Who put him in there, you know? Was responsible for tens of millions of people dying? 6 million of whom were God's covenant people, the Jews? Was that one day when God was on vacation for a few weeks? No. Everything, even though we don't understand it, is planned or permitted by God. Now that's rubbing up against you, isn't it? That kind of, you know, folks, if you're sovereign over your universe, there are no mistakes. Everything is planned and purposeful in your universe if you are sovereign over that universe. So instead of trying to figure out why God did or didn't do such and such, yield to Him as sovereign over His creation. In other words, get on God's side. Now, I told you this is a chug hole, didn't I? I challenge us. Are you sure that's what the Word says? How about some more reminders here? And you're thinking, oh goody, we're going to get the table near the door down at the Rodeo. Duane, is that the place? Because this guy's on point 2. He's not covering point 3, and we're almost finished. Yeah. This is not a lengthy endeavor as much as it is a huge endeavor that's hard to get our hands on and tougher to swallow. So some more reminders. We are servants, not power brokers. We are servants, not power brokers, who are endued with power because we can vote. Remember, God created all that is, and He is sovereign over all He has created. So you might dress this one up and take it home. He who rules makes the rules. That's God. He who rules makes the rules. And God is a God of order and authority. That's what Peter is telling us here. God is a God of order and authority. First of all, in His two great institutions, in His church and in the home. Those are God's two great institutions. He created the home, the institution of marriage before the church, but both are created by Him. And both are governed according to what He established as order and authority. So in His church, He didn't say, hey, just get together and hang out, just feel good about it, have a good time. Sing a few choruses, just hang out. No. He said, in my church, the body of my Son Jesus Christ, there will be elders, deacons, and the several members will be endued with spiritual gifts, not for their benefit, but for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ. Therein He gave us the order and authority for His church. There is no Pope. There's no CEO. There are under-shepherds, servant leaders. There are deacons who initially did nothing but hand out food to people who were complaining because they weren't getting enough. Deacons, that's not a good job, I don't think, but it's a necessary one. So, He established order and authority in His church. His other institution, the home, He established order and authority there. God is not a God of chaos. He is not an anarchist. He established in the home, He said there will be a husband and a wife. The husband shall leave his mom and dad and cling to his wife, and they will be one flesh. We looked at that last week. Leave, cleave, one flesh. And then they are to multiply, and some of you did a good job of that, multiply and replenish the earth. That's the home. And so then over in the New Testament, He gets into the details of that, and He established the order and authority in the home. So die to self before we go here, okay? He said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Everybody thinks that the wife gets shortchanged in this deal. Try that one on, ladies. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And then He said to the wives, wives, I'll use that word you're not supposed to use anymore, submit, respect, if that helps you get it on a little easier, okay? Wives, submit, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents. And there's no parentheses in there, boys and girls, big and little, that says, except this, this, and this. Obey your parents. Because the parents you are obeying is a dad who loves your mom and will die for her and a mom who respects your husband, that she is going to support him whatever he says and wherever he goes and whatever he does in regards to you. That's the home, the great institution, marriage, that God established. Do you see the order and authority there? Do you see the order and authority in creation? Why would God then all of a sudden say, everything else, what are you going to do? He has ordered and given authority in everything in this world, in His creation. He's in charge. That's what He's trying to tell us. I can't help but share this with you because it's so precious. We have a lot of families here who replicate that description I just gave you. Okay? I know some of you say, okay, that won't work. Hey, it be working. In a lot of the families here, and last week, and I don't single these folks out for any special reason. I don't even know if they're here today. Well, that's okay, all right. You tell them I talked about them, okay? But I was sitting down here on the step, mainly because I can't stand, okay? And all of a sudden, this little girl comes over and plops down right beside me. I knew she was one of ours, but I just didn't know exactly where she fit into one of ours, okay? Until I looked up and I saw Mom and Dad on the front row. And then I knew who she was, okay? One of theirs, all right? And so I said, sweetheart, I said, tell John what your name is again. Olivia. Okay? And I said, why do you want to talk to me today, Olivia? I've had this experience scores and scores and scores of times. I never get tired of it. I knew what she's going to say. Okay? So Mom and Dad kind of slipped over there a little closer. And I said, Olivia, what did you want to tell me? And she said, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And then Mom and Dad filled in some of the details of, you know, the where and when, that kind of thing. And so we just had a good time here, okay? And I got to thinking, Olivia has two older sisters who are going to be baptized here in the near future. And so I looked at Mom and Dad and I said, this is it, isn't it? Henrietta said, yep, she's the closer. You baseball people get something out of that, okay? She's the closer. And the beaming that came from Tim and Rihanna's faces, our family is one in the Lord. Olivia is the last one to believe. And now Dad is a believer, Mama's a believer, Sister's a believer, Sister's a believer, and Olivia's a believer. Our home that God gave us. Folks, that's the way it works. That's God's plan. That's the authority and order that He created in the home. And when that happens, it works. I know I'll stand here and tell you that Tim Garber doesn't go home some nights and said, what's for that for supper? Or Rihanna says, you don't know what I put up with all that. They're human beings. But they are one in Christ Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to work. Why would we argue with God about how He wants to order and plan His universe if it is as beautiful as the Christian home? Now, you convince me of that, and we'll have something to talk about. Everywhere people are, God has established authority structures and structures of authority. Now, if you're not offended yet, here we go. Shock alert. You know, we said a while ago that we think we're powerful because we can vote. Yeah. I mean, we really do in this country. I'm a citizen. I've got a vote. Now, I can either vote for you or for you. And, you know, it's kind of one of those kind of deals. And I'm going to work to get a lot of other people to vote like I'm voting. We'll put you in office or out of office, whatever it is. Folks, this is a shock alert. Democracy is not God's mode of governing His creation. It's not. And now those of you who are more patriots and pilgrims are saying, wait a minute, those are fighting words now, buddy. We'll go to the mat over this one. This is a land of the free and a home of the brave, and it's a democracy, and I'm a patriot of this land, and God's on our side. God doesn't call a vote for anything. Really. He doesn't control His universe via the political meanderings of a democracy. He rules by a theocracy. That means He is in charge. And He doesn't have a cabinet to counsel Him. And He doesn't have anybody that He consults before He does what He does. He rules His creation through a theocracy. You say, I need to think about that. Tell me something that Adam and Eve voted on. Now, before you say, well, they got to name the animals. They got to name the animals. They didn't vote whether there were animals or not, okay? Yeah, Adam named the animals. I wonder if there's a reason why Eve wasn't there yet, but we won't go there, okay? Could have got weird, couldn't it? Huh? They didn't vote on anything. Nowhere else does God ask them to vote on, then He'll proceed accordingly. What about the children of Israel? God's covenant people, descendants of Abraham and Isaac through Jacob. Okay? Find somewhere where they voted on something. I can't find it, okay? I can't find it. And then, folks, go over there, Matthew, and turn right, especially after Pentecost and the foundation of the church, and there forward, in Scripture, find me a place where they voted on anything. Oh, I know church tradition and church historians and those kind of folks. They say, well, but I can't find it. I wonder why that is. Because God has ordered His church and all that He has done, not from the vantage point of a democracy, but a theocracy. He calls the shots. And He does so on a collective basis, but He also does on an individual basis. Therefore, when you want to know what to do, ask Him. And He doesn't have to get together a group of people to help Him decide. He will tell you in His time. You see how this makes sense? While we're here, the United States of America is not a democracy either. Now, turn it off, Gabe. We're not. In a democracy, the people vote on everything. We are a republic. That means we elect a representative who then votes for us. I want to tell you something. There's been a few attempts at democracy through the ages, and they've not fared well. They've not fared well. The founding fathers, who I believe were inspired by the God of this universe, had some great ideas. I mean, you know, a republic makes far more sense as the antithesis to the king rules, like the King of England, then does a pure democracy where all the people vote on everything. So the United States, we're not a democracy either. We're a republic. Well, let's get back to God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty trumps our interpretation of what is right and wrong. And that is, in effect, what Peter is saying here. God determines what is right and wrong. We don't determine what is right and wrong except to repeat what God said is right and wrong. So, folks, what we need to do is check what is right and wrong versus what God has said in His Word is right and wrong. That's where I'm coming from. That's why Peter can say, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Because I, Jehovah God, am working through that human institution, and you may not understand how, why, or when. But I am. Why did God arrange it like this? So that His will would be accomplished. Did you see that phrase again? For the Lord's sake? He is saying be subject for the Lord's sake, not for the human institution's sake, not for your sake, not for George down the road's sake, but be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution because I, Jehovah God said, am working through that human institution. And the powers that be, I ordained, I put them in place, for reasons that you can never know or understand, I am the Lord your God. Jehovah God knows all that has happened. He knows all that is happening. And He knows all that will happen. He has a plan. He's always had a plan. He has a plan for His entire creation. He has a plan for this person on the front row, second seat. No person there, but if there was, that's who it'd be. Your life, regardless of your age, He has a plan for you. He has a plan on an intricate, moment-by-moment basis for you. So you see, when you don't like where you are, doing what you're doing, those kind of things. Folks, you may be walking up to Jehovah God and saying, I don't appreciate it. Folks, nothing happens in your life as a child of God unless He plans it or permits it. He's in charge. He's in charge. Remember, we've said this 100 times, 1,000 times probably. Truth is what God says and what God sees. And He has said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. That's the way I have decreed that you are to be made holy and that you will spend eternity with Me. It's through My Son, Jesus Christ, whom I sent to die on a cross for your sins and the sins of the world. And I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life. And you can't get to the Father except by Me, or if God was saying it, through My Son. No other way? He said, I don't like that. You know, I think it ought to be just doing more good stuff than you do bad stuff. Well, good luck with that. That ain't gonna work. Well, I think if you just treat your neighbor right, that ought to get you into heaven. Good luck with that one, too. I'm not against either one of those. But I'm here to tell you they won't get you to heaven. They won't. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Me. Why? Because God said so. He sent Me, His only begotten Son, to become flesh, live a sinless life, die on a cross for the sins of the world. That's the way he decided to do it. And that's why I came. You see? Nobody's voting on that. Nobody's voting on that. God's priority is his will. Did you see that in verse 15? For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. He is calling, Peter is calling, as God, as the Holy Spirit inspired him, live this way where you are living. And in doing this, which is the will of God, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Just live it in front of them. And they can't disagree with that. He said something similar last week. Believers have suffered and been persecuted at the hands of governments and authorities from basically early on. And they are continuing to be persecuted and martyred today. We live in this little bubble of time, this United States of America time, okay? And within that would be most of our lives. I was born in 1950. Okay? I knew nothing of World War II. We have some of our great folks here who lived through World War II. Some, the Depression, we won't ask them to stand right now. Okay? But, you know, Vietnam, yeah, okay? But we have known a golden age. And we have become spoiled, I think, by it. To the point where we give out participation trophies. And we just keep amping up the self-esteem of kids born in this golden age. And so when we tell them no, they throw a fit. Now, where are you going with all of this? I'm saying this time in which we live may be short-lived. Did you catch it last week? It would have been easy to miss, but did you catch it? A person with some influence stepped forward and said that shooting in Las Vegas, listen to this, was caused by white Christians. And you think, well, that's just some idiot talking. The person put the ball in play. That it's our fault because of what's going on in the country now. Now, at that point, it didn't gain a huge following. But the match was lit and applied to the fuse connecting the carnage of Las Vegas with white Christians. Didn't say anything about Muslims or Hindus or Jews or no one. White Christians. Folks, our day of persecution is right before us. You say, well, don't be getting all negative on us. I'm not. The God of this universe allowed 6 million of his covenant people to die in the gas chambers of Germany. Those weren't just anybody. Those weren't folks down the road in Saxony or somewhere like that. Those were descendants that they could trace all the way back to Abraham. And 6 million of them died. Just because of who they were. Jews. Now if that fuse that was lit in the news releases of this country gains a momentum, and it is going to, and it is going to, then our days of persecution arrive before us. Not because God's mad at us. Not because he said, I told you you shouldn't have missed church all those times. No. Because he's God. all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Want to leave? I don't see anybody leaving. Let's pray. Father, we marvel at your sovereignty, your greatness. We marvel at the creation that you put in place simply by speaking it into existence. Father, beyond that, we don't understand much. We understand that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We understand, Father, that you're in charge. Hopefully we understand that. Beyond that, we don't understand much. We lose a lot of sleep at night over stuff that we can't control except to cry out to you to take care of it. Father, we're just like infants in your creation, totally dependent on you for our life and our future. So Lord, reset us today. Push that button. And if necessary, take us back to the fact that you're in charge, down to every government that has existed or will exist. You're in charge. And that you love us with an unsearchable love, so much so that you have planned everything or permitted everything that comes about in our lives for your sake. For your sake.